This meeting is now being recorded.
Hey, hello all. This is Scott Hollenbeck. We are here today for our regularly scheduled Tuesday meeting of the RDAP Technical Study Group, or TSG, on Tuesday, February 26, 2019. We are still in the midst of working out the details of our technical model. Lisa or Diana, did you have any specific agenda items that you're aware of?
Hi, thank you, Scott. This is Aliza. So because this is sort of the last week to finalize the text of the technical model outline, we are hoping that you could get through all of that and including any of the outstanding comments or edits that are in the Google document today, so that we could then have the document, you know, go through our own communication team is going to take a look and help us with some language as well and get something ready to be published approximately a week from today. If you want to get something out before the Kobe meeting, I think the latest we could do that would have to be Wednesday of next week, and, you know, people start traveling shortly thereafter. Certainly most of the ICANN team does. So it will get more challenging to publish something later next week. So if that works for the rest of the team, I would recommend going through the document and resolving any outstanding comments.
Okay, that works, Aliza. Any comments on that suggestion? Okay, not hearing any, not seeing any hands. So I'd like to add one other thing, though, to talk about first, perhaps, any meta-level discussions that need to be had. I am aware of one. I had sent a note to the list, you know, late yesterday, you know, after looking at the suggestion, you know, to create a slightly simplified data flow diagram. And thank you, Gustavo and Francisco, you know, for taking on the task of modifying that original very crude thing that I submitted. But in looking at it, it made me go back, you know, to the discussion we had during our last face-to-face about, you know, separation of authorization endpoint and token endpoint functionality, and how in order for that to work, there would need to be some form of data sharing between the two, because the only thing that they both see in common is this thing called this authorization code. And as I was digging into the specs some more again, you know, making sure I got that concept nailed completely cold, you know, it reinforced my belief that, well, first off, the authorization code is little more than a state pointer, and so separation of the functions could be problematic without a significant amount of data sharing, and I just don't think that amount of data sharing is actually what we had in mind here. So anyway, I went back and tried tweaking the mermaid diagram a little bit, the data flow diagram, to suggest that we, you know, recombine the AE and TE functions into an identity provider actor, because as it turns out, they are both identity provider functions, and then adding an actor for the authorization service that Gustavo added, you know, to the simplified diagram. And if I understood the desire, you know, of the ICANN staff members who were describing the need for this function, the idea would be that it would be this entity that would, you know, be the recipient of some information and would, you know, kind of give a thumbs up, thumbs down on user authorization or not. And so if that's the case, like I said, I modified the diagram, threw it out there, and was hoping to maybe engender a little bit of conversation about, is that now on the right path? Do I have that wrong? What do you think, folks? Okay, I see hands up. Francisco's and then Andy's. Francisco, you first, please.
Thank you, Scott. So I'm not sure if I understand correctly. Are you saying there is no way to do the separation of the authentication and authorization? Is that what you're saying?
Well, and keep in mind that, I'm sorry, Scott here again. Authorization in the context of what the TE and AE are doing isn't really authorization. The TE is simply producing tokens, you know, based on the information that was collected during the authentication and identification process. And as I said, it sounded like, Francisco, based on what you were asking for and based on the diagram that Gustavo produced, it sounded like you were looking at there being another actor involved in this authorization service. Do I have that correct, or is that off base?
This is what we have been talking for, I don't know how long, the ability to separate authorization and authentication. But not clear. Is that possible or not with this technology? If it's not, that's fine. We just need to be clear and remove perhaps one of the actor models that we have in the document and explain why these functions cannot be separated.
Okay. Well, as I said, they can be. And if you look at the data flow diagram, the detailed one, I added this actor called an authorization service that will receive as parameters, you know, the RDAP query, you know, so the what is being asked for and the information about the requestor, with the idea being that it will return, you know, some type of a response that indicates appropriate authorization status. Does that sound about right?
What I'm not clear is how technically this will work.
The idea is that it would receive something that looks like an RDAP query along with the appropriate tokens, and it would process that information and return some type of a response to indicate if that user is authorized to see that particular information associated with that query. Any more, Francisco, or should I move on to Andy?
Let's move on. I'm still not there, but let's see what I'll say.
Okay. Andy?
Hey, Scott. So if I understand correctly, what you're saying is there's the OAuth model or the OpenID Connect model does not allow for the separation of authentication and authorization. Is that correct?
Yeah, you see, that's the strange thing, because if you look at the specs, it talks about that this can happen, right? But then when you look at the way they use those same terms to describe the functionality of these endpoints, I couldn't find anything in the specs that described how that actually worked, Andy. It sounds like what they are describing is more accurately represented in the Mermaid data flow diagram as you see it there right now.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not very surprised that we're unable to figure out exactly what they mean, because in essence, OAuth is about authorization, not authentication. But we're kind of using it in a slightly different method than what the OAuth people did. That's why we're talking about the OpenID Connect. I'm trying to read through your text. For some reason, I can't pull up the SVG. If what you're saying is that there can be some sort of information sharing between the identity provider and the authorization service, that's just not OAuth. That's just something else we come up with. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, in, for example, the IETF draft that I have, we would have to describe, you know, potentially describe another, you know, query path that this authorization service would need to understand. So it would have to be, again, another actor. It receives a query and it's expected to produce a response.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I understand. I think I understand what you're saying. It's basically you're saying, from what we can tell, straight up OAuth / OpenID Connect doesn't do exactly what we want, and therefore what we can do is we can glue some other mechanism on the side here that gets it done. It's not terribly difficult. It's just that we have to do something else.
Bingo.
Yeah. So I think my preference would be not to have the proxy do that. I think my preference would be that all the proxy would do is, if it's looking for, it may have to verify that whatever is being asked for was what was authorized, sorry, I didn't put that correctly. Whatever is being, the information that's being given about the, you know, here's my query, here's my access tokens, whatever. It may also need the information about, what query was authorized, and let's verify that the query being asked is the query that was, had been previously authorized. But I think I the way I would prefer it is if the authorization service were called somewhere in the flow of the OAuth stuff. So it may not be an part of OAuth itself, but it may just be an extra side channel that goes on, once the IDP is doing its job. Does that make sense?
Not exactly.
Well, I mean, so I'm looking at the text, and we talk about the AS, the access service, talking to, okay, I know that. So I was thinking it would be the IDP who, makes some sort of, non-OAuth interface, has some sort of non-OAuth interface to the authorization service. And, at that point, once the authorization service says, yes, this works, then all the RDAP client would need is the access token after that.
Yeah. See, the relationship between the IDP and the relying party is the primary relationship here. And so the question is, who is the relying party? In the diagram, as you said, and actually, and if you can't, you can't open the SVG. The diagram is up in the Adobe chat room here.
Ah, okay.
But Yvette, if you could scroll it down just a little bit more. All right, yeah, right there. All right, yeah, so that's good. So what I've got there is if we assume that the proxy is the relying party, you know, which is the assumption we made for the initial client identification, authentication, and token production step, if we preserve that, you know, when the client actually decides to send its RDAP query after getting the tokens, it's going to be talking to the proxy. So the proxy will have received the RDAP query and the tokens from the client, and now it's got to know, you know, hey, is this entity authorized to see what they're asking for? And that's why I thought that, you know, basically pinging that off to this, you know, potentially third-party authorization service would be the appropriate way to tackle that need.
Okay, I don't want to. I think what I'm doing here is engineering during the meeting, and maybe that's not appropriate. I'm fine with going with what you have because overall, I don't think it's unworkable. It's just I had another preferred way of doing it. So maybe, and I don't want to. Maybe it's too late since we're about to go into Kobe anyway to change from this or to have some sort of deep meeting about exactly how we would move things around. So I'm fine with what we have, but maybe later on we can take another look at this. Are you okay with that?
Well, of course. I mean, inevitably, too, you know, once we start talking about this in the context of how it really has to work, well, I have no doubt we're going to have to make changes.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Sure. Thank you, Andy. So I don't see any other hands there, but if we agree that this is what we want to go forward with, Francisco, go ahead, please.
Sorry, I'm still not clear. What are we saying we're going to move forward with? What I think I gather is the standard as it is does not allow for separation of authorization authentication. Is that correct?
No. It does not support the notion of separation of authorization endpoint and token endpoint functionality. All right? The actual, no, because remember what the token endpoint does. It gets a request for tokens based on an authorization code, and it returns tokens. It's not making any kind of an authorization decision. And similarly, the AE, even though it's called an authorization endpoint, all that it returns after, you know, the client interaction is an authorization code. And the code is nothing more than a pointer to some internal state that particular server maintains. Some entity somewhere has to retrieve those tokens and some insight or some information about the protected data that's being requested and explicitly decide if that access should be granted. And that's the part that's being separated in the data flow diagram that I modified yesterday.
Scott, this is Andy. I think Francisco's question was, is really more of the higher level. Do we have a separation of concerns when it comes to authentication and authorization? And I believe the answer to that is yes. But what you're saying
Correct.
Is in OAuth itself, the AE and TE aren't doing what we previously said they were doing.
That's correct.
Okay.
Does that help, Francisco?
Sorry, I could not hear what Andy said. Do you mind repeating?
I said, don't worry about it. We got it covered. No, basically, sorry about that, Francisco. What I said was, I said that I believe your concern is a higher level concern where there is a separation of responsibilities or a separation of concerns between authentication and authorization. And Scott is preserving that. It's just that the way we had previously specified how to do it, which was with an OAuth between the AE and the TE, that no longer exists. We're not doing it at the OAuth layer. We're doing it at another layer.
Okay. Does that mean we are inventing something new?
Yes. We are going to have to invent some sort of slightly new thing. I don't think it's going to be terribly difficult, but I believe that is correct.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we were doing all along with the need for adding this type of an authorization service in RDAP. It's not there now.
Okay, so I presume someone is going to work on this, and
well,
at some point we'll see a diagram.
Indeed. We know that the IETF RegEx Working Group has taken up this document as a work item, and, you know, the needs of, you know, ICANN and, the, you know, the GTLD community are going to be, you know, pretty significant factors in the direction of the document. So I think we've got that covered.
Oh, what I mean is for this model, I mean, we need to have something for next week, right?
Yep. And so what I'm proposing, we take this SVG diagram, replace the one in the document with this, and if we needed a simpler version, you know, for the slide deck, as was, you know, suggested by, you know, some comment that somebody made, we can take what Gustavo did, and I think if we just remove one of the bidirectional arrows, it's an accurate representation of the data flow. And the arrow that would need to be removed is the one from the, between the client and the authorization service. Does that work?
Right. So the diagram that Gustavo modified, which is your original diagram, that's just for the slides. But for the actual document, we need the detailed model, which are you saying is the one that is being shown or a modified version that someone is going to produce?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm suggesting that this data flow, as we're seeing on the screen right here right now, I will capture it in image format, stick it in the document, revise my, you know, the text I wrote on how it works appropriately, unless someone, you know, disagrees with that and is willing to propose an alternative.
Okay.
I mean, and, you know, to that point, I will get that done today or tomorrow. It's not that significant, really. I mean, it's the same processing steps. We're just changing a little bit of the description of who's doing what. All right, so if everyone agrees with that approach, I think that's the last of the meta-level, or the only meta-level discussion we had. I'd like to suggest then that we go back to the document itself and take a pass through the existing comments or questions, and let's see if we can't get through those before our time runs out. Sound appropriate? Okay, only one yes in chat, plus one from Gavin. All right, let's go. Okay. So Yvette, could you bring up the, thank you. And let's just scroll through the comments. Okay, so I see, Francisco, you have a suggested edit, non-public domain name registration in GTLDs. I think we mean non-public domain name registration data, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Could someone who has the document open please add data after registration?
Yeah, so Scott, my comment actually says that, so.
Yep, I see that. Okay, thank you. All right, so we have a need to link to the charter document. That's an administrative detail, so I think we can skip that. We have a highlighted comment down in assumption number 2.5. I think we talked about this a little bit last week. Credentials must be protected in a reasonable way throughout its life cycle. Was there anything we needed to debate here on the throughout its life cycle thing? Thank you, Gavin.
So I don't know. I don't remember. I know that got highlighted. I think I mentioned this last week that the identity providers, we can't tell the identity providers how they do their credentialing and how they keep their stuff, especially if they already have existing credentials. So yeah, I mean, it's great, but I don't know how strong that must is in there. I guess it's a lowercase must. I don't know.
It's not a requirement, right? It's an assumption.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good point.
All right, so are we comfortable with this wording? Or anybody not comfortable with it?
I think Gavin is suggesting will instead of must.
Kind of yeah, I just suggested it should be a will rather because this is an assumption rather than a requirement, as exactly as Francis has just said.
That seems reasonable to me. So, Gavin, are you in there? You want to make that change? Okay. Let's take the highlighting off of throughout their life cycle so that we don't keep coming back to this, wondering why we are continuing to come back to it. Tomofumi, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead, please. Tomofumi, it looks like your phone. There we go.
Hello. So I was wondering, do we want if we make it will, like all credentials will be protected, since it's an assumption, I guess it doesn't matter. My concern is like, if there's gonna be, identity providers that are gonna be chosen or selected, wouldn't we want them to always have some adequate protection for the, credentials? Wouldn't that be an assumption that they always protect the credentials properly, or is it up to them entirely?
All right, is that an assumption or a requirement to be captured someplace?
If we don't want any compromises, I kind of feel like it should be a requirement. Well,
okay, then let's hold that thought until we get down to the requirements section, okay?
This is Gavin. Just just on this question of whether this should be a requirement or an assumption, I think if we make it requirement, we then have to, address it in our design. And I think it would be hard to do that without going into deep into implementation details that will, we'll get into the weeds where it comes to individual people doing implementations of, if an identity provider or an authorization provider, we're going to start imposing technical implementation details on them at this point, I think is premature. As an assumption, it's kind of an odd one because it's kind of saying the system will be secure. As an operating assumption, that's a weird one to have. But I don't think it fits particularly well in either the assumptions or requirements. I don't know where it would fit. I don't really have much to add, I'm afraid, other than say I'm not sure whether it fits in either of the two sections because I'm not sure it's either a requirement or an assumption.
Tomofumi, your hand is still up.
I guess it's okay as an assumption. As this whole thing about credentials is about security, you have to assume that it's managed properly.
But as an assumption, it's kind of...
I agree that it is hard to make it a requirement.
It's kind of narrow.
It's really hard.
You'd want to have it be much broader and say something like the system must be secure, in which case it's not. It kind of just... It's so broad that it's impossible to it has no real value. I think if we have specific like security operational security recommendations, maybe and that might be worth expanding as a section of the document in its own right. So to talk about what the operational security requirements of the system and the different parties within the system would be. But I don't think this particular thing about credentials fits in either of the two as it is currently.
Does anyone else have an opinion? Should it stay? Should it go? All right, there's a whole lot of silence, folks. Tomofumi?
I prefer to keep it somewhere. There's a lot of the compromises, in this industry actually happens from the mismanagement of credentials. And this is a big one for the DNS industry.
Jody?
This is Jody. I think it's fine to keep it as an assumption. I kind of agree with Gavin that if you make it into a requirement, we might have to explain how that's supposed to be done. I don't think we want to add that to this document. It's more about how we get through the data or how we get the data to the requester, not about the credentials necessarily. Thanks.
Thank you, Jody. John Crane types in chat, I don't think it goes, but I don't see how you can require. John?
Yeah, I'm with Jody and Gavin here. I mean, it's very hard to require things once they leave your system. You can have assumptions and expectations, but to write this as a requirement and in a way that would actually be enforceable, I think is almost impossible.
Okay. Thank you, John. So as a compromise, can we agree that we hold our nose and leave it in the assumptions and not include it as a requirement? All right, I'm seeing agreement from Jody. I see a John okay with that. Andy agreed. Will might work here too. Murray, yeah, well, if we do have all credentials, will be protected, Murray. Requesters, Will. Oh, okay, yeah. We're not at number 11 yet, Murray. All right, so let's put number 5 to bed. Text as currently written is okay to keep as an assumption, and let's move down to number 11, where it currently says requestors must, and we've already kind of banged on that a little bit, suggesting maybe that should be requestors will. Any disagreement?
Hello?
Okay, who said hello?
Hi, this is Diana. I was trying to say that we wanted to speak up here. Sorry it was so loud.
Go ahead.
No, not
or you want us to speak up?
Sorry, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. All right, I'm seeing no disagreement. Let's change 11 to requester's will. All right, next we have some comments here from Aliza on numbers 12 and 13. These assumptions were added per our note from February 13th. We're not concerned in network clarity, blah, 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 blah. Okay, everyone okay with, comfortable with leaving these assumptions in as written? Okay, yes, John notes I made a small change. Policy choices may change. The tech, yeah, agreed, okay. Jody's good, Andy's good, Gavin's fine, okay, good. Let's resolve these. And move on. Next thing I see, let's see. RTBF text from Gavin, move to considerations for I can't communicate. We'll get to that when we get down there, okay? The next thing I see is in the system requirements 3A. We're talking about the coordinating party. The comment here is that our overall editors will ensure uniformity of language elsewhere. Okay, I think we can skip that one for now. Let's go down to 6D. Okay, another note for Ram. We need to state that the policy, okay, well, we'll leave that there. 7. Question from Francisco. Do we need to talk about SLAs for identity providers and authorization bodies? Any thoughts on that, folks?
This is Murray. I think sort of on my comment, based on my comment from last week, we might want to just say that this is a legitimate place where ICANN could establish an SLA, and it's outside of our scope to say what that would be, but this is, a failure here means the system breaks, so that seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Okay, does someone want to take a crack at proposing a sentence to be included here then? Gavin?
So what I wanted to say is that this was this does sort of overlap with my section, which is further down, where you know, one of the things we talked about on the last meeting was enumerating all the different actors and the service level agreements that might need to be put in place for them, which I've now done. I don't know if this actually duplicates that. And whether it might be simpler just to refer but down to that section rather than you know, duplicate more content in this section here.
Okay, Francisco, it was your question. Are you comfortable with Gavin's suggestion?
Yes, I think my comment is already addressed by Gavin. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay, let's note then that this is resolved. Okay. All right, then the next one is in 7B. SLA commitments must be published. Again, this is some questions for Ram, things to think through here. Who the SLAs apply to? Are SLAs published? Gavin, would you agree that, again, this is probably described more in the section you wrote further down?
Yeah, I think so. I do think that the section should stand, and there should be a cross-reference into the consideration section. And I will make that change. I'm going to add a note to myself to do that.
Okay, thank you very much. Got that one taken care of. Next down is 8B. Question from Francisco. Are we missing to include the authorizing bodies? Yeah, I think we are. So, would you agree to rework? Okay, extra if I can. Okay, thank you, Gavin. So for this section, ICANN, where am I here? Which document am I working in? All right. ICANN, identity providers, and authorization services. Of course, and it helps if you spell them correctly. All right, so how does that text look? ICANN, identity providers and authorization services must undergo annual security audit, blah, blah, blah. Any disagreement with that? Okay, thank you, Francisco. Seeing no disagreement. Let's move on. Okay, I see a highlighted section here, refer to Appendix X, but there's no comment there, so let's move past it. Functional requirements, the comment there is just Scott as author. I think we can just mark that one resolved, okay. All right, so next one, Section X. Note for Aliza to number sections. We can leave that to our editors. Okay. Next one down, again, Scott as author. We can resolve that one. The TSG considered two technologies. Okay, so comment from Francisco. I thought we agreed to move the whole comparison table of discussion to an appendix, didn't we? Thoughts on that, folks?
Yeah, we discussed it and then we undiscussed it. So, I mean, it was discussed last call that when it got moved back.
Francisco, I see your hand up.
So, Andy, you said we agreed to leave it? Is that what you said? We changed our mind?
That was my understanding. The original idea was to put it in an appendix, but when the session got put in and then we discussed it last week, I believe we said it was fine where it is.
Yeah, I don't remember that second part, but don't you guys think this is distracting from the point of the model? This is not really describing the model, just a tangential discussion.
I mean, I don't care. It's in the section that's discussing what we came up with, and so how we got to where we are. I think it's fine where it's at.
I mean, I tend to agree. I don't think it distracts from the flow, and if anything, it helps the reader understand, you know, the two models and the process we use to evaluate them. Does anyone else have any thoughts on this?
Jody.
I was going to say, I think it should go here. I mean, from just an orderly or a, what I want to say, historical, being able to go through it in the timeline. This is how we came to this. I'd rather read it here than in an appendix. That's just my opinion.
All right, John Crane in chat. I'm agnostic as to where it sits. Murray?
How big is this document overall right now? If it's not that big, then I don't think it matters. If this is an enormous section right in the middle, then maybe it deserves to be moved out. But if what we're seeing on the screen is pretty much the entire thing, then I don't feel strongly one way or another. I think that it would interrupt the flow if the organization of this document were, here is the outline, like as an introduction or an early section, and then later on we got into a diatribe about how we got here. Then this belongs there. But if it's not broken up that way, then I think it's fine where it is.
Yeah, I mean, the document is pretty much what you see, Murray. I mean, it will, you know, get a little bit larger as we add a little bit more text, but we're not talking like, you know, order of magnitude.
Yeah, so if it's not going to get any bigger than this, then I'm agreeing with the chat that I see a meh, and I'm going to plus one the meh.
Okay, let's leave it here. Let's move on. Resolve this comment. Scrolling further, okay, we have a highlighted yes in 2B. Oh, I already captured this in my text, so I think we can resolve this one. All right, let's move down. Actor models. That's Andy as author. We can resolve that one. Okay, actor model one, requesters. It looks like someone added /organizations. That was Francisco. And Andy says, no, I think we mean individuals. So let's talk about this one. Who wants to go first?
I will. So in our discussions, we clearly talked about individual law enforcement officers accessing this data, and we know that they may share credentials, but they're not supposed to. So, which means I don't think we should be acknowledging the fact that it's nothing more than individuals. And in fact, if you look at some of our early models, we talked about, you know, they would cut and paste access codes or whatnot. So we're definitely talking about actual humans doing this, not organizations.
Francisco, and then Steve Crocker.
We're assuming something that I in my view is a policy decision, is whether the authorization will go to individuals or organizations. That's what I was simply noting. Either one or the other. At this point, I think we don't know what the policy would say. If, for example, the authorization would be for, say, the FBI to do this much things, or it would be for the agent, someone specifically, an FBI agent to see something. At this point, we just don't know. That's what I was suggesting. We leave it one or the other.
Andy, any response to that, or can I move on to Steve?
Let's see what Steve has to say.
Steve?
I too am responding to the stepped into a policy issue here. I think that crosses a line and steps into, to use another metaphor, a slippery slope. It's a whole bunch of issues as to who is allowed and under what circumstances, and whether or not variations from what's expected are treated as a serious violation, and who enforces that and what the auditing and all that is a very large area, all very important, and clearly and nicely, cleanly outside the scope of the system that we're designing. So I think it's better for us to be silent about that.
So, Steve, when you say stay silent, if you could map that to the specific text we have here, what are you suggesting?
So I wasn't listening. I was listening and not looking at the text. Requesters. So we're talking about bullet one under six actor models?
Yes. And so originally the text said individuals. Francisco was suggesting to change that to individuals / organizations.
I would prefer to not say, not use either word and just say, requesters submitting queries. I haven't got the sense of how all this is laid out here. Implement,
we do have a suggestion from Gavin that we replace individuals / organizations with entities. What do you all think about that?
That works for me.
Okay, let me.
If some of us, not including me, are feel strongly that more needs to be said, I could envision something like a footnote that acknowledges that there is some expectation, but that of whether or not these are individuals or entities or what issues it raises, but that comment would have to include. We view these as this issue as something that belongs clearly outside of the framework of what we're working on and clearly inside the framework of who sets those policies. But
okay.
That's only if it's necessary to say something. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, so anything more on this one? We've agreed to change individuals and individuals / organizations to entities. All right, not seeing anything. Let's move on. Next comment, Francisco is saying, I believe Yoren wasn't a fan of the term proxy. Should we change this to access clearinghouse or something else? And this is under actor model number 2, ICANN proxy. Francisco, you want to talk to that, and then I'll let Andy respond?
Sure. It's a minor point, just in terms of the terminology. Joran said that proxy can be misunderstood by non-technical folks to mean something else to what we mean here, and he suggested we don't use the word proxy. And so I was suggesting what I put there as an option, but if people think there is a better wording, that's fine. Just not use the word proxy. And to be clear, this will need to be changed throughout the document.
Andy?
Yeah, so, first off, I don't remember that conversation where he said that, and that seemed kind of detailish that I didn't really think he had actually read the document. I'm fine with changing it here. If you're saying we're going to change it in other places, then that's a bigger issue, because from the technical level, we are separating things out, and we do mean an RDAP proxy. We don't mean an RDAP clearinghouse at the technical level. So, that, I don't think that's going to work. I don't mind. The place where you want to change it is really talking about the organizations or the higher level actors, and that's fine there. But when you get down into what the breakdown further down, those are more technical interactions, and we do mean what we say there. And if someone's going to get confused about what a proxy is because it's a technical term and they want to conflate it with something else, I think that's their problem.
Gavin, I see you have some chat comments.
Yeah, I was just kind of processing things that people had said, and I was going to suggest something like RDAP proxy server or access gateway or something like that. So use some technical terms just to make sure that we're not talking about a proxy in the sort of legal sense.
Thank you, Gavin. Francisco?
Yeah, I was going to say we have a reference to this technical definition of the term proxy. I think that will help mitigate the risk of confusion that I remember Jordan raising. So if we think this is a well-defined term, let's just add the reference so that we avoid this confusion.
Well, I'm fine with Gavin's proposal of calling it a server, so that makes it a little more clear what's going on. Again, this document has the title technical model in it. So if someone's reading a technical model and they want to use their legal, what they think a proxy is as far as like law or something like that, again, that's them conflating things. If we have to sit there and define definitions for everything, then this is going to be turned into a very long document.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that we add the word server to this, and that's our compromise position. How's that sound? All right, John Crane plus one. Thank you, John. Bunch of people taking a long time. Okay, thank you, Proxy Server Jody. Andy plus one. All right, Murray can add proxy. Thank you. That would be a good idea, but okay. Thank you, Gavin. All right, very good. Let's resolve that particular comment. All right, moving on. Number four. Andy, you had a question. It says, in OAuth OpenID Connect terms, this would be the relying party. All right, and then I answered the question, but I don't know if I answered it directly. The RDAP access service, yes. So this is the relying party in this context. So I think we can resolve that question. Bingo. Moving down to actor model one. So comment from Francisco. You want to walk us through it, Francisco?
Sorry, I got disconnected. Which number are we talking about?
Okay, this is actor model one. It looks like you highlighted encumber ICANN with a burdensome and likely politically unpalatable need to vet and credential all requesters.
Right. So all I was suggesting is a change of wording. This is a technical model, and I don't feel like this is a technical argument. If we could at least rewarded to, for example, say that going this way will limit the options for separating the functions or something like that. I think that's a better way to put it than the way that it's currently written.
Andy?
I disagree. The wording you're proposing is just kind of, I don't know why you're saying it would make it harder to separate the functions. We've clearly laid that out in the other actor model. So I think that makes us look kind of saying one thing and then saying another. The other thing is that there's nothing wrong for us to call out things that are potentially politically unpalatable. And just saying that's why this is not the one we want to concentrate on. And that's being honest. So I don't see why that would be a problem. Yeah, it's we're not trying to solve a policy problem, but we are noting that there is likely going to be a policy problem here. And by the way, the part about ICANN being encumbering ICANN with a burden was about if they are the identity provider, then ICANN suddenly has to figure out who all the law enforcement people are and who all the IP lawyers are and stuff like that. That's not just a political issue, that's an operational issue as well.
Hey, why don't we say that?
Say that again?
I was saying, why don't we say that? I don't find
the things that you mentioned here, the potential operational issues. And for what it's worth, it's also true that if you have I can play in all the roles, then you are limiting the options. You are not allowing others to play then the roles which is something potentially people in the community may want. That's all I was saying.
Well, now you're making a political statement. So you're absolutely correct, and that is the political issue, right? That's why I said it's politically unpalatable. So there is an operational consideration in that how is ICANN going to vet all law enforcement throughout the world? How is ICANN going to vet all IP attorneys throughout the world? Right? I mean, that's an operational consideration that is something that would be extremely hard for ICANN to do.
Can we say something like that? Instead of saying that it's politically unpalatable or bothersome or things like that, that are adjectives and there is no explanation to how we went there. So instead of calling it something, why don't we explain the issue? That's my point.
I mean, we can certainly expand the text to point out the operational burden.
I'm sorry, I just realized I was sitting here yakking with the mute button pushed. That's kind of ineffective. So looking at the chat, John was suggesting, and it sounds like Francisco was suggesting, that we broaden the section to cover some of the operational problems. John's actually offering to take a stab at this. Gavin is suggesting it might be possible to get the point across using more neutral language. Murray is typing very slowly. Hurry up, Murray. Plus one to Gavin. All right, let's try not to say politically anything. Sorry. No problem. All right. So look, we have a suggestion here to maybe revisit this text and rather try to wordsmith it right now. Let's take this one offline. And if Andy and John and Francisco and anyone else want to take a stab at this, let's just assign them an action item to do so. Okay? All right. Moving on. Next comment was in Actor Model 2, where Andy's text says this is the preferred model, and Francisco had a comment. Andy had a reply to that comment. Francisco, you wanted to explain your comment? Francisco?
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't hearing anything. Again, we are simply saying this is the preferred model, but I don't see much explanation why this is the preferred model. And I think we could just expand a little bit on explaining why. I don't think we should be assuming that the reader will understand all the things we have been discussing. They will not necessarily have the background we have. That's all.
Thank you, Francisco. Andy?
I thought it was kind of obvious going through this, but if you want to prepare some text that adds more words in here, I'm fine with that.
All right, and so let's take the same action for this comment. As John noted, I think this will follow from the problems with the other model. So, and now Gavin's typing. Okay, I think we should be explicit, but probably doesn't need significant volume of text. Okay, so let's take the same action here. If I could ask Andy and those of you who have comments on this section to come up with some suggested edits or modifications and take that offline and get back to us on the list. that's the best way to move forward. All right, moving on. So let's skip actor model, the comment in actor model 3, because it looks like, all right, possible. Now, Andy, this is your comment. You want to talk to this, Andy?
Which one are we on?
Actor model.
The one starting the wildest model of the lead. What comment did I make here? I believe, so this was something I responded to with Jody said on the list. And I believe, not last Thursday's call, last Tuesday's call, someone said this would get moved into the assumptions or something. This got addressed in some other way, and I'm not sure what that is. That's why I left this here. But I don't know what we want to put here.
Okay. Now, interestingly, though, in reading this text, I think, isn't this what we described in our data flow diagram? Multiple identity providers with third-party authorizers? So which is the preferred model?
I believe.
So say that again, Scott.
Okay. So we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, the modification of the data flow diagram to note these third-party or independent authorization service operators. That seems to map to what you've got described here as actor model 3, Andy. And if that's...
We can do all four of these models with what's described in that data flow diagram. All you do is you push the functions together, right?
Right, exactly. So if I can't be explicit to ask, you know, Francisco a question, which of these models is the preferred model, Francisco?
Well, you're asking Francisco, but I'm the one who wrote the word. This is the preferred model for number two, which I thought that's what we said at some point. If it's not the preferred model, then maybe we should have that discussion. I thought for some reason we said we wanted ICANN to be the sole authorizer, but if that's not true, then that's not true.
Francisco? John? Anyone from ICANN want to talk to this?
Like Andy said, I didn't write that, so I don't know why we said number two is the preferred model.
Okay, that being the case, let's take this offline, since we agree we were going to go back and look at that text for these actor models. But let's move on. As Diana notes, we're running out of time as well. Okay, so
Scott,
Andy?
The issue called out there in that specific comment wasn't really about which one's preferred or whatever we want to call it, or whether
right.
we prefer one or not. The issue was actually something about the contracted parties. It would be the sole authorizer. Yeah, where something about the contracted parties would prefer if ICANN were the sole authorizer. And this was, I believe, a comment that came from the mailing list from Jody. So, and he wanted it put in here. And then I thought we had said we were actually going to move that text further up into like the assumption section, but maybe I'm incorrect about that.
Hey, can I jump in here, Andy? This is Jody or Scott.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jody.
Okay, so my question was to the mailing list was basically, is ICANN willing to take on the liability of authorizing? Basically, what's going to happen is that if third party entities are allowed to get information, non-public information from the contracted parties, and that third party entity or that entity mishandles that data, what's going to happen is that the EU will find it. The EU will find the contracted parties. So it puts a lot of liability on the contracted parties. However, contracted parties aren't the ones that are authorized to allow people into or allow entities in to get the non-public data. By ICANN authorizing third parties in to get that data, then they should be taking on, contracted parties believe that ICANN should be taking on the liability of this issue, that if people that entities that ICANN approves or that I can, or that have been accredited by a third party that I can as accredited, the liability is still resting solely on the third party or on the contracted parties. It's awful hard for the contracted parties to accept all the liability of the mishandling of the data without being allowed to accredit the third party entities to get to that data. That the assumption that I was on that I was asking for is that is ICANN going to assume some of this liability? What we got back from Joran was that ICANN is not going to assume that liability. So that means that the contracted parties are basically being made liable for releasing the data, but they have no control over prioritizing the requesters.
Jody, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Isn't what you're asking true regardless of which model we choose?
Absolutely it is. So yes, that's why
okay.
I was, so I'm not sure where to flag this concern of the contracted parties. If it should be in any of these models, or maybe it belongs in the implementation considerations, or maybe it's just, hey, here's an issue that we have, that contracted parties have, that I'm not, that we're dealing with any model that we have that has anyone else but contracted parties doing the accreditation of entities.
Okay, so just to, well, I don't know what we want to do here. So I don't know if we want to flag this. It's not, so that's why I didn't want to remove this comment earlier, because it is, while it is on model number 3, it actually, I do think, goes someplace else in the document. So I don't know where we want to put that, but I didn't want to lose it. That's why I didn't resolve it earlier.
Okay, thank you, Andy. We do have some hands up, hands raised. Gavin, and then Murray. Gavin?
Yeah, hi. So I just wanted to just exercise a word of caution. Although I don't disagree with Jody's point in its substance, I mean, we just need to be a bit careful that we don't end up putting something in this document that seems to suggest that the contracted parties house has a settled view on this. We're not here, people who work for registries and registrars in this group, but we're not the official representatives of the various stakeholder groups or constituencies or whatever organizational components. We're here purely in the technical capacity. So I think we should be very careful about saying the contracted parties believe this or the contracted parties believe that, because I think that's going to get us in trouble. I think we should certainly again flag things as needing review from a legal and policy level. Maybe this is again something that needs to be moved into the considerations for the organization, for the community. As a possible policy precondition.
Okay, so Gavin, can you take a crack at some text then?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Thank you. Murray?
So up front, I want to say I understand that this is a real concern that Jody and possibly other CPHs have. But having said that, and this one, so here's a question for Jody. If you want to put this under implementation considerations, I'm curious to know how you would change your implementation choices based on a question of liability.
Well, I think that ship has already sailed, Murray. As a basis, and as I've said this before, is that the contracted parties need to have the ability to be able to deny requests. To deny requests. Now, I don't know how that's going to get into this model that we have. An RDAP request comes into the contracted parties. Contracted parties see that somebody is basically, what I want to say, mining the data. Contracted parties need to be able to send back an error message to say, and I think we've already covered that a little bit, to say, I'm not sure what the error message is that we talked about, too many requests, something like that, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of move that off to the side to say, contractor parties, I guess, do have that ability to say, hey, we're not allowing this request to be fulfilled. So
okay.
having talked that out, my outside contract parties do have the ability to do that or the right mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm trying to get at whether implementation considerations is the right place to discuss a concern about liability. If you want to be defensive around, I think you're mining the data, so I'm going to not allow this. That's a different thing than what I think you were saying before, or what I heard you saying before, which was, we're shouldering all of the liability here, and that should be an implementation, something that goes in the implementation considerations. And I would disagree. I think that that's not something that changes the way you're going to implement this or the way you're going to interoperate with the system. So I just want to be careful that we don't put something that is purely outside of the technical scope, which is, like, we could get sued for this. In implementation section. If you want to have a different section that says here are other issues that we're certain are going to affect participation or what have you, I think that's different than an implementation question. And so I would suggest that it doesn't belong there, but it's reasonable to say that we should, this was a serious topic that was discussed by this group, and therefore we should call out that we spent time on it. But it doesn't sound to me like this is an implementation issue.
Thanks, Murray. I appreciate your thoughts on that, and I agree with you. I don't know where it goes in this document, and implementation probably isn't where it goes, but I think we should call it out that it was discussed. That's what I'm looking for. Just some mention of it, but I'm not sure what the best is, and I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah, so I can see in the margin on the left there's a section that starts with considerations and somewhere down there maybe.
Right, indeed. And as Gavin notes in chat, he's suggesting this goes into his section down at the bottom.
I think that's more acceptable. Anyone else?
So we are running out of time here, folks. Andy, you still had your hand up as well. Anything else to say on this topic?
Well, I agree with Gavin putting it in where he's putting it. I saw him already doing something there. So I'm going to go ahead and mark this as resolved. I think what Murray said is important, that we do note these things. One of the issues I think we're having with this document is, while we're trying to get it prepped for ICANN Kobe, we're assuming the primary audience is ICANN, and my assumption was the primary audience is not ICANN. The primary audience are the European Union data protection authorities. So calling out things that are community issues, I think, is totally appropriate to do, because they're not going to have the same context. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Andy. All right, Murray, your hand is still raised. I assume that's an old hand?
Yes, sorry, I'll clear it.
All right, thank you. So let's move on and see how much further we can get into this. Implementation considerations. Okay, so we have Andy as author. I'll resolve that since Andy's actually added already text here. Next comment. This is one of Francisco's, and looks like Andy so the Pure Mutual TLS authentication system. Francisco, you want to introduce your question?
Which section is this? At the end of 7?
Implementation considerations, section 7, text starting with a Pure Mutual TLS authentication system.
Right. So I was suggesting this already covering section 5, which I think we just decided to keep it where it is instead of an appendix. Not sure what's the point of mentioning this again here.
Andy?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a section really kind of discussing how we got here. I think it's fine. It's not a lot of text. I don't think it's actually duplicative, which is what you're saying now. But I mean, this is more of a section that describes our reasoning. So I think it's perfectly fine to leave there.
All right.
Okay.
So, Francisco?
Yeah, I'm fine, man.
All right. Very good. Let's resolve this one. Thank you.
Sorry, Scott, this is Aliza. Sorry to interrupt. Did we skip over actor model 4? There's a comment on the word worth.
No, that's wrapped up in the whole revisiting some of the text in the actor model section, Aliza.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, so I mean, as Francisco notes, we should explain why, and Andy says, is that necessary? I think that, that's wrapped up. We had a bunch of questions around that section, so let's just wrap that with all the rest of them.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Proposed solution. Okay, so we have I did take that text. Okay. So Francisco added, and the user, at the choice of the identity provider and the user. Okay, and I'm going to disagree with that, Francisco. The user may choose, but he can only choose if the identity provider has made the decision to support both. So ultimately, it is up to the identity provider.
So I disagree. You're right. The identity provider is the one that decides which they support. But if they support more than one, then the user gets to choose between the ones that are supported, not the identity provider. That's why I think it's an end.
All right, so what I'm not comfortable with in this text, at least the way you've changed it, if we say, and the user, if the user says, I want to use a certificate, and the identity provider says no, what does this text tell us?
Well, a simple interpretation would be that the two have to converge, right? If one is a no, then I'm thinking perhaps to... in the mathematical sense, if you have two ones, then it's a one if it's joined by an and. But maybe that's not the way to read it in English.
All right, so let me do this then. How about this? At the mutual choice of the identity provider and the user. How does that sound?
Sure.
Okay. Any disagreements with that, folks? Plus one. Very good. Let's move on. Resolve that one. Okay. So Francisco deleted. Moving down to mutual TLS authentication will be used to secure identification between a credentialed and authorized agent of ICANN. All right. Now, I don't forget where that came in. Andy, was that something you had suggested to me when we were talking about this text?
I don't think so, and I kind of agree with Francisco's edit here.
All right. All right.
I'm not sure it's necessary to put those words there.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that wasn't my original words. I tried to capture some thought that someone provided, but is there any disagreement with striking that text? No objection. Okay, thank you, Gavin. Let's accept it. Thank you. Let's move a little further down. Aliza was asking if it makes sense to number these steps 1 through 3. It could. So, Aliza, you want to take that on as like just an editorial action?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I'll mark this one resolved. The next edit in, Francisco is suggesting replace an with the request to the access service. Yeah, okay, I can live with that. Now we're down in section 3, set up for an RDAP query. All right, now, yes, so see, now this gets down to the comment we had today. Access token to a token endpoint operated by the identity provider. And based on the conversation we had, Francisco, I'm going to assume that you're okay with the text as written. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not clear where we are leaving things now. So is the identity provider going to be operating both? And I guess I'm still waiting to see the picture where we will see where the authorization, how the authorization is going to play in this model.
Yeah. Okay. So as we discussed earlier, identity provider, the TE and AE are functions that are performed by an identity provider. We talked about the authorization side of that being handled by this new thing we called an authorization service.
Okay. Yeah, feel free to resolve this one, and I'll make my comments once you add the other part.
All right. So, yeah, I have the action to go back and change that text as appropriate here, so which in turn returns them to the client application. Okay, I can live with that. Okay, moving down, we have a comment. All right, so we have this. Okay, so RDAP query processing, we talked about sending queries to contracted party servers that are authoritative. And I have the comment here, which, you know, i.e. have the closest relationship to the data subject. Francisco's comment, perhaps it's me, but I don't understand this. The idea that I'm trying to convey here, Francisco, is that you're not necessarily going to send a query to a registry for data that is maintained by a registrar. Does that make sense?
Yes. I don't think you need the note. And to me, the part that makes it complicated to understand is that data subject. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's a data subject. This is a term that's pretty well understood in the context of the people who are going to be reading this document.
Okay, if everyone else agrees, that I'm fine with that.
Thank you. Okay, replace will with may. CP servers may. Okay, I agreed. May contain system requirements and relevant policy. Okay, I can live with that. Okay. 8C, we have a figure reference to resolve. I'll leave that there. I gotta fix this part. 125, and we're down to section 9. Considerations here. Gavin is the author. Okay, I'll just resolve that comment since he's got it. I see some highlighted text, but no comment. These are some to-dos here. And since Gavin, we know that he's already got some more to-dos in the section, let's see if we can't move down just to the comments and resolve any comments. In section 10, the conclusion is a TBD. Section appendix, authors to include information that's relevant. So again, nothing here to be addressed. Okay, that actually brings us to the end of the document. And that being the case, so we had a comment in chat. Do we think we need to meet again tomorrow, or do we have enough to keep us busy between now and Thursday? Comments, folks?
We don't have a call on Thursday, Scott. This is Aliza.
Oh, we don't. Okay.
Should we?
But I will point out, excuse me, I'll point out that to get this done and published in a week and have our communications team look at it and also share it internally as well before it's completed, we need some time. So if it's possible and this group is available at the same time tomorrow, I would recommend a call tomorrow.
Now, I know I can do an hour tomorrow, but not 90 minutes. Other folks, could you indicate your availability here, please? Okay, I've got Francisco saying Thursday, Tomofumi Tuesday, Andy tomorrow, Andy for an hour. Can do, Gavin, are you saying can do like as in Wednesday? Jorge, tomorrow, Gavin, yeah, okay. So it sounds like Wednesday works better for more people here, Francisco. Jody saying Thursday, John, he'll move stuff around. Okay, Steve, can't do tomorrow or Thursday. Okay, I'm going to try to make a quick consensus call based on what I'm reading here. It sounds like Wednesday is least problematic for most people for an hour. So can we schedule an hour call at noon tomorrow, please, Aliza?
That would be great. We'll send that out. And I think in the meantime, if you continue working in the Google Doc and letting folks know as you make edits, that way you can all review and make your comments, and we can be prepared to talk through these on tomorrow morning's call.
Indeed. Right. So that's the underlying assumption here. We have a couple of actions here for some of us to get into the text and make some changes. Let's all accept some responsibility for getting that text in, you know, hopefully in enough time for folks to see it before the meeting at noon tomorrow. And then tomorrow we can focus on the changes we've made between now and tomorrow. So, any last bits of business then before we conclude?
Scott, this is Aliza. Sorry, one more question. I know that we had in there that we would discuss the conclusion on the last call prior to Kobe, which would be a week from today. Do you think it would be possible to have someone draft that for tomorrow just to give us a jump start?
Certainly reasonable. all right, Andy, I'm going to what do you think about taking the suggestion for, you know, the proposed approach and kind of framing the conclusion around that?
I don't know if I can get that done by tomorrow, though.
I
was going to say Benedict's not here, so maybe we can get him to do it. I'm kind of crunched for today as it is, so I don't really have time to get that done by tomorrow.
Is anyone else willing to maybe step up and take a crack at writing some text?
This is Marie. Since I've got the glossary to do, and I think I promised one other thing, too, that I need to recall. If you just want to pile work on me, go ahead. I'll probably spend a couple hours this evening editing.
Okay. Thank you, Murray. We'll gladly hand that pen to you.
Yeah, just give me a bunch of bullet notes or something like that of what you want me to work on.
All right.
We'll
so, Aliza, you are
the action items after this call.
Correct. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay.
And
so, last call.
On the appendix. Sorry, on the appendix, as you're reviewing the document, if there's anything you feel needs to be included in the appendix, please add that in, and we'll make sure the formatting and everything looks okay. And now I'll be quiet.
Thank you, Aliza. Okay, last call. Any more items for today? All right, so Tomofumi's still adding framework info. Okay, very good. But not seeing any hands, not seeing anything else. Folks, I think we're done. Aliza, you could stop the recording, and we'll just plan on meeting again tomorrow.